So the debate continues as to whether we should maintain a 2 meter social distancing rule and whether it's necessary to combat the COVID-19 outbreak, because it is clearly having a detrimental impact on some sectors of the economy which can't reopen while the 2 meter distancing rule is there. Independent TD for Tipperary, Matty McGrath is on the line. Matty, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What's your take on the 2 meter rule?
Could I join you, first of all, and wish all the teenagers, especially the leaving sets, well. I've won myself, you know, and they've been great, and it's been very uncertain time for them, and they missed their graduations, and they're trying to get in small groups, you know, to get some feeling of normality, and they have a bright future to look forward to. So I really salute them. They've been, in the main, they've been very, very, very good.
Yeah, you've heard, though, about stabbings in Dublin, about attacks and running brawls and fights, so it's not all sweetness and light.
I know that better than anyone, but I'm just saying the vast majority, of course, like with the people of Kilkenny, like with the social distancing, they are doing their best. You'll always have the few. But we did have our Taoiseach out in the Phoenix Park, you know, having a picnic. I thought picnics were one of the things that prescribed you couldn't have. And I think there was cans as well. So, I mean, what kind of image was that to portray, you know, recently? And very little in the Irish media about it. You know, so every media in the world carried it. But we were more obsessed with Mr. Cummings in England and Mr. Johnson than dealing with our own failings here in Ireland, our shortcomings.
It would appear he didn't break the rules, though. That, so it would appear.
Well, I don't know. It's debatable. I mean, we're encouraging people what I saw, and I really ignored it. And I mentioned it all briefly on Wednesday, but I didn't dwell on it because it doesn't bother me what he does. I don't want to really see it on images in front of me, but, you know, he did seem to have quite very, very, very close. And, you know, there were sunbathing, and there was, I think, Miriam Lord made some reference to Cannes NHL Cannes party or something, like dismiss it as if frolics of young teenage boys, you know, but he's not. He's an adult that has a responsible job and he needs to lead by example.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the Cannes, but anyway, because I wasn't there.
I'm really quoting what wasn't Miriam's article.
Right.
But
moving on to your take, though, on the 2 metre rule. Now, there is a lot of pressure from restaurateurs, hoteliers and so on who feel that business is not viable if they don't open up. And we'll be talking to the INTO in a few moments about schools and whether schools are viable if the 2 metre rule remains. But, I mean, we're talking about a long way away for schools. For the moment, though, what do you think of the maintenance of the 2 metre rule?
It's a farce at this stage because it's not been implemented in many of our hospitals because it can't be at A&Es. I have evidence of two hospitals, one major hospital in Cork and one in Dublin this week and the last 10 days that, you know, in Cork it requests 1 metre distancing, two preferably, but one in black and white. And yesterday in Dublin, no mention of distancing. People all over the place, you know, very close, congregated, business as usual. So it's very hard for the staff, and I accept that totally. But, I mean, how can the same HSE and Dr. Houlihan be implemented in this when it's not been implemented in the hospitals? And clearly it can't be implemented in A&Es. We know that, the way they have been packed. Look, we have to move on. I mean, our economy, passing the economy, the people's mental health, the people waiting for all different kinds of services. You know, I had a case the other day, you know, on a different issue, the health insurance. They have a lady paying health insurance 45 years and now waiting until stage 3 prolapse, could go to emergency at 4 at any stage. Her consultant telling her that it'll be July 20th at the earliest, possibly September. She could be dead. We've done great work, had great strides. We made one gaping hole was the border and the ports and the airports. And when I questioned this at the
HSC, and the nursing homes.
All the nursing homes is an out-and-out scandal. But, I mean, I'm talking about sealing our borders. Look, Hungary, and he got lambasted, the Prime Minister, in the door by our Taoiseach and indeed by our Mihal Martin. But he closed the borders and he removed all that this week now again, and nobody's lambasting them. And they have 500 cases in a population of 2.5 times was in Ireland. And they have several land borders. We only have the one land border and we refuse to block. And I raised this at meetings with the Taoiseach and Minister for Health. I raised it in the door floor. We had it like I likened it to drawing water from a well. Our business and cattle at the sea, where we could go to the sea with a holy bucket. We'd never do it because the water would keep draining out of it. And when we asked, when actually the Deputy Shortall that asked one day how many HSE staff, it's only 3 weeks ago. We're at the airports monitoring. We were told they didn't know, and that they thought that justice had handled that. Were handling that. So, this introduction of this 14-day quarantine is very actually nonsensical. because it's too late. And it has a huge impact too for foreign direct investment and companies that have been contacted by people in companies who are, this is sending the wrong vibes all over the world now that we're going to quarantine business people for 14 days. Not that we could do it anyway. They'll fill up a form, tell us where we're going, but yeah, how are we going to control it? It's basically...
Yeah, and if you give them a mobile phone number, okay, are they going to actually try and track where you are using the nearest tower that picks up your mobile phone signal? Because you say you're in Mayo, in Kilty Mock, whatever it is, but you're in fact in Dublin. How will they know?
It's a window dressing, face saving. It's not what the paper's written on. It's not enforceable.
Okay. So Matty, your take on this really is, people have given up on social distancing, therefore we should abandon it. You see, Luke O'Neill yesterday said, you can make whatever rules you like, but the reality is, the farther away you are from somebody, the lower your prospect of catching this thing is. So if you're 2 meters away, you have less chance of catching it. If you're 1 meter away, you are more likely to catch it if the other person has it. And he said, it depends what your trade-off is. So if you're prepared to gamble on people's health, yeah, go ahead. But be aware of the gamble that you're taking.
I accept that totally. But I look at the figures in Tipperary. I look at the figures, in many, many rural counties. And I see this as total. I described it the other day, and now it's become, rather than a pandemic, a scamdemic, because we have big businesses now open as usual, and all the small people who are the backbone of our communities, whether they be pubs, taxi drivers, shops, minibus drivers, you name it, hairdressers. Huge efforts. Yeah. I've been to visit some of the salons here, and the effort that they have made, putting up screens and spending a lot of money and not being allowed. Meanwhile, the black market in that area is thriving. So we're going to kill business. And we're going to have to kickstart the economy and kickstart it big time. No. And it's like kickstarting 150 to kickstarting 750 is a big difference. And, so this is going to be very, very, very problematic. And the longer we leave this closed down, the harder it's going to get. We can argue that up and down the road. But, hospitals are empty, practically. The private hospitals were seconded, and I agreed with this, mind. And I don't agree with it anymore now because, as I said, I had a woman who was paying 66 years of age, paying health insurance for 45 years, and that's tens of thousands like her. And there's professors out there, Professor O'Keefe from Cork, and there's many, many more of them. Dr. De Bruyne.
Okay, well, it's unlikely that deal will continue. It's likely that more normal service will resume. Matty, thank you very much for joining us, Independent TD for Tipperary. Now, the other news, of course, the Minister for Education, Joe McHugh, saying that schools may only partially open in September if the 2 metre social distancing rule is in force. He confirmed that he wouldn't accept this option, by the way. And in any event, according to the HSE's own health experts, and they wrote a paper on this, schools are not a high-risk setting for the transmission of COVID-19, and they've recommended that reopening of schools should be considered earlier in the lifting of restrictions. Irish National Teachers General Secretary, INTO General Secretary, John Boyle is on the line. John, good morning.
Hello, Pat. Thanks for having me on again.
Now, the question is, the experts are saying internationally and now domestically that schools are not going to be a cradle of infection. It is safe to open them. We should open them sooner. What do you think?
Yes, on that particular piece of guidance this morning, it was a very limited study, Pat, but I'm glad to report, first of all, and to salute all the people who have been involved in the home teaching for the last 9 weeks. There's 3 more weeks to go. Schools will reopen in September. I was at the stakeholders meeting group there on Wednesday, and I found that there was a really strong sense of purpose and a can-do attitude at that meeting, and everybody was solutions focused. And we do believe that schools will reopen for sure in September. But the big question, of course, and it does relate to that 2 metre, 1 metre, there's no doubt, but there's a lot of other things that have to be taken into consideration. The length of time groups of people are together inside in a building, the size of the space available, the amount of time they would be on the playground in a school setting, and the distance between the groups, whether we could have small pods of children.
If the information is that kids actually don't transmit, the young kids particularly don't transmit it either to each other or to anybody else, I mean, surely the whole thing, after 6 months without schooling, you guys should be champing at the bit to get up and running, not even in September, in August. I mean, you used to always come back in the last week in August. Why not come back earlier? Because the kids cannot afford to be so long without a formal education.
Well, there's no doubt our members are champing at the bit to get back, and I've said that a number of times this week. The government have decided on public health advice that schools will reopen at the beginning of the next academic year. And the planning that has begun, it was very apparent at that planning meeting that when you have to consider things like the training of the 60,000 staff, a public awareness campaign for the children and for the parents, the production of signage appropriate for the school setting, the provision of hand sanitising, the issue around that social distancing and the 2 metre versus the 1 metre or the 1.5, the other questions about tweaking your health and safety statements, having templates for the 3,250 schools for that purpose, every school doing their own risk assessment, having isolation areas.
But they've nothing to be doing at the moment. John, they've nothing to be doing at the moment. Why aren't they doing all this now? There are other companies ready and champing at the bit. You heard Matty McGrath saying hairdressers have put all these things in place. They're ready for the off. They're preparing. So what's the issue with schools?
There's no issue with schools at the moment, Pat. As I said earlier, for the last 9 weeks, the teachers have continued to engage with the children and are working every single hour that God gives, preparing for that new use of technology to reach out to the children. And at the same time, since the school buildings opened last Monday for teachers to have access, principal teachers are back in there with their chairpersons of the boards of management, and they're planning for their individual settings, but they don't have any money for the purchase of PPE or hand sanitizers. I gather that it's going to take 24 million euros simply to provide that equipment in a 3-month period. And we are asking government to provide that centrally rather than each school reinventing the wheel.
Well, so that would make sense. Absolutely. Here. There should be a kit, per 100 of the school population, so many hand sanitizers and the PPE and all the rest of it. Question from a listener: should the midterm break then be scrapped because teachers have had enough time off and so have the kids?
Yeah, well, you see, that's at odds with what we're hearing from all the various surveys of the great work that's being done and acknowledged by the minister last night. But it is very, very difficult.
Hang on a second. This text: home teaching, he's having a laugh. My 5-year-old received one email a week. That's it. It's a nightmare. No Zoom, mightn't work at his age, but not even a video message from the teacher. Very disappointing. So it's patchy at best.
Look, we've already acknowledged that it's patchy where you have no broadband in certain areas, where you have certain families who don't have access to devices, certain families maybe who
have they not heard of the snail mail? On PUS, they're delivering in spades to every house in the land at the moment. You can send lessons by post. It still works.
And we're so delighted, Pat, actually, that finally last Monday that the teachers got access to the school buildings again, because all of their materials, they got 2 hours notice on the 12th of March the schools were closing. They had been locked out of their school buildings since. They've been doing their best to do it via the internet and emails and whatnot. Some of them certainly did make connections through the post, but it wasn't possible to prepare lessons and to post. For example, one school in West Dublin in the very first week after lockdown sent out 4,500 euros worth of materials to schools, and they don't have had any money to sustain that. But looking forward, I prefer to look forward now to September. And, Minister McHugh spoke about the different options. At our meeting, planning meeting last Wednesday, and we're going to have another one next Wednesday, we didn't really look at the teaching and learning to date. We looked at making sure that all the protections would be in place as soon as possible, that advice would be given to schools within the next 2 weeks around all the practicalities for organising the school for reopening.
Okay.
We also incidentally spoke about the vulnerable children who usually get their summer provision, the children with autism and the children in disadvantaged areas. And there's a huge willingness for that scheme to run as well. But okay.
Are getting a bit impatient because you've got 3 months between now and September. But this one, oh, for goodness sake, it's crazy. Why on earth can't schools open earlier than September, open in August? These are all excuses. Parents will buy the hand sanitizers if necessary. Talking about fiddling around, that's from Orla. And the whole idea of, the schools not being open when the teachers are being paid a full salary. That's why they're not in a rush. They're perfectly happy to keep it going, Patsy, because they're not affected. They just have loads of time off. It's lovely weather. Why should they push to get back into the classroom? My two kids get work emailed every day, but I'm doing it with them and I'm correcting the work. It takes a few minutes for a teacher to put an email together. Get the teachers back and educate our children, or else drop the teachers' salaries to €350 per week. I'm fuming, says a Dublin listener. And then your equivocation on scrapping the midterm break. What was that all about?
What I never mentioned the midterm break, as it happens, and incidentally for that listener, and I know a lot of people are getting very stressed at the moment, we have some of our members, substitute teachers, who are also on the 350, and actually some of them are earning less than 350, they're earning €203 per week. So this has affected society very much, but we are a solutions focused organisation. I went to that meeting in good faith the last day, and I found that everybody from the Department of Education down to the different partners has a determination for schools to reopen in September. And we will be ready for that reopening. Children will be making up for lost time. The big challenge really for September is the question as to what way will they return to school. Obviously, everybody would wish that they would all be back together in their very large supersized classes in Ireland and small classrooms.
We've rehearsed all those arguments before, and it could be that you'll have to have some crowd in the morning, some crowd in the afternoon, or some people Monday and Tuesday, and others Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and flip the next week. Who knows what way
they're doing in Denmark at the moment.
Yeah. Now, going back to the midterm break, because you did say people were talking about it or whatever, what is your view of the midterm break, given the amount of time that the kids have lost? Should it be scrapped?
Well, I don't know what they mean by the midterm break. The next midterm break is due at Halloween. It's a 4-day break.
Exactly.
So in terms of the midterm break, there's a standardized school year. It's 183 days.
Well, they haven't had it this year, as you know.
It's the longest in Europe, as it so happens. It's the most pupil-teacher contact time. Teachers have been working continuously.
I think we know what you're going to say there. They work very hard. They've long da 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 da. So we're not going to scrap the midterm break. That's all I wanted is an answer. We're going to leave it there. Irish National Teachers General Secretary John Boyle. Thank you very much.